Keith Miller set his career course in college, where he starred at fullback at the University of Colorado, played professional football for the European and Arena Football Leagues, and saw his future in the NFL. But Miller listened to another voice, his own, and that led him to a very different stage at the Metropolitan Opera. Keith Miller performing in Carmen, one of almost 200 productions. The bass baritone has graced at the Met in the 5 years since his specialty switched from blitz pickups to Bizet. And last week he made his debut with the Washington National Opera, playing the role of Bonzo in Madama Butterfly. Well, perhaps you haven't traded in football for Figaro, but there was a moment in your life when you decided to reinvent yourself. And what did you do? 800-989-8255, email talk@npr.org. And you can join the conversation at our website. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. Madama Butterfly runs through March 19th with the Washington National Opera at the Kennedy Center. Keith Miller is here with us in Studio 3A. Thanks very much for being with us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
And you were set for a football career playing along. When did you get interested in music?
It happened back in 1994. I was playing at the University of Colorado. I took a girlfriend that I was seeing to Phantom of the Opera on my birthday, and I thought it would be a really nice date. And I sat there, and I was just blown away. I saw this, you know, music, the lights, the smoke, fire, and the show, the story. And the next morning I woke up, and I couldn't get the experience out of my head. Even that night I had a friend come over, and she let me listen to her CD. The next morning at 10 a.m. I was at the mall. I bought Phantom of the Opera CD. I bought Beauty and the Beast CDs, Les Mis, and eventually ran out of musical theater that I enjoyed, so I rented the three tenors and saw Pavarotti singing Nessun Dorma. And at the end of his aria, he had this glistening look in his eye, and I said, what is that? And I went to the music department, started figuring out music and understanding
it. You didn't read music?
Oh, no. I what happened was I actually took a piece of staff paper and was hand-copying the piano vocal score onto the staff paper from the Turandot score, trying to figure out what it was, translating it. And the guy saw me behind the counter, and he said, what are you doing here? I had my letter jacket on. He's like, you don't belong here. And so I told him, and he gave me UC Bierling, La Boheme. And then it was like, oh, it's okay. Now I appreciate it much more. But then he gave me a Don Giovanni, and I heard the low voices, the resonance. And that was something I was like, okay, this is really cool.
Uh-huh.
So I just listened to it for the next probably 7 years.
And we're singing along essentially in the shower.
Sometimes. I mean, I didn't even know really that. I was like, okay, bass, baritone, tenor. I didn't know all these terms. You either could sing or you couldn't. So just the fact that I could kind of sing along to some of these things, not others, I was like, well, I'm not a singer. You know, I didn't really know how specialized this field is. And I made some horrible attempts at Phantom of the Opera that I'm glad no one recorded, but it was a great time, and I really just found a new toy to play with.
And then, of course, your football career is going on at this time. You are a professional athlete, in fact, and I wonder, you're playing in the Arena Football League and in Europe. I gather you played in Finland?
Played in Finland, and it was very interesting. At the time, they had spring football leagues that were here in the United States. They were trying to get something of the NFL Europe going on here in the U.S. I played in the Regional Football League. They had a spring football league, and it kind of all culminated in the XFL. And when all of the TV funding kind of fell out, they lost the XFL contracts, they lost the arena contracts, and pretty much that was where the dollars were coming in. But it happened at the time where I was leaving college that there were a lot of opportunities to play professional football, which just don't exist anymore.
Sure.
So it was really nice on one hand. On the other hand, it was really frustrating because I'd finished one season, I got drafted by another team, I go out to Los Angeles, and then, you know, that league closes down, and the next year that's bought out by the XFL, and you're just bouncing around, and there's no security about the future of, you know, professional football other than the NFL, which started to close its doors tighter and tighter. So,
but if you were playing for the Pittsburgh Steelers, would you be an opera singer today?
You know, I don't know. That's the one thing I've learned is everything happens always for a reason. You know, the biggest losses that we've suffered, I mean, in personal life, professional football, you know, when you lose something, you have to go back and diagnose. You're more apt to go back and diagnose the things that you did wrong, what you can improve upon. And when things go well, you don't really, at the end of the night, you know, you just say, oh, well, you know, thanks, that was great. You don't take the time to really evaluate. So you really need to have speed bumps in your life to kind of say, hey, what, you know, make it some adjustments, fine-tune things, or just, you know, change the transmission completely.
Yeah, and it's interesting. You would be now an older professional football player. You're a young singer.
Oh, that's the hardest part is, you know, right now with everything that's going on and my career has gone, you know, exceedingly well, better than I would have ever hoped, it's pacing. It's actually saying, you know, well, yeah, I was lucky I played five seasons. That's more than the average by
double.
More than
most, yeah.
And the beginning of my career will really probably happen 8-9 years from now. And that's a long time considering everything that's happened
your
already.
Your career in opera, yeah.
Yes, because as a base, at 45, that's when the prime of your career will start. That's when you can basically say, I can sing within reason anything I want to, up to a certain few roles that I shouldn't sing till I'm 50, 55.
Right.
It just requires maturity, growth as a human.
Yeah, 45 in football, you're looking to hook on as an assistant coach in Dubuque.
Oh, yeah, if that. Like fishing by then.
If you did well.
Yes.
If you did well. We're talking with Keith Miller, who's become an opera star after leaving football behind him. We're interested in moments in your life where you changed careers, where suddenly something happened and you decided to do something else completely. 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. Larry's on the line calling us from Oklahoma City.
Hi there. Well, I enjoy this program, and I went the other way. I started out in music. I was a bassoon player. I was fortunate enough to get my training at the famous Indiana University School of Music under a guy who had been principal bassoon in the Chicago Symphony. And then I pursued that professionally and taught at a university in Texas for a few years and then switched totally to the business world. And I've been a financial advisor at a major brokerage house in Oklahoma City for 30 years.
And what made you decide to switch?
I guess the financial end of it was part of it. I grew up in a household where my parents encouraged me to have broad interests, and I'm fortunate now to love my work in the financial world, but I'm also still quite active as a performer. And as a matter of fact, my wife is the principal oboist in the Oklahoma City Philharmonic. So we have a very musical life as well.
So you've managed to keep that in your life, and I wonder, do you find it more satisfying than as an amateur, if you will, than it was when you were a professional?
You couldn't have said it any better. Absolutely.
All right. Well, Larry, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
One thing that Larry must have had, and anybody who switches careers, you were, you know, really good at something, and then all of a sudden you're just a complete novice.
Well, that's the thing about, you know, when I spoke earlier about the speed bumps, is if you ever think that you have arrived, then you should realize that what you've arrived at is the beginning. And, you know, you need to understand that if you're doing anything the right way, whether it's parenting, being in a relationship, music, finance, football, that it's just a continuing process of how can I get better? How can I be the best that I can be? And it's got to take a lot of foresight to pull yourself back, look at the big picture and say, okay, you know, I'm never going to get it right. So what can I do? And just because the field changes and you go from a score to a set of numbers, or you go from, you know, goalpost to, you know, horns on your head, you have to just try to do the best you can at what you're doing.
I don't think you're speaking of your career with the Minnesota Vikings when you made
remark.
But you talked about how specialized this field is, and indeed it is, and people have spent their whole lives in this little cocoon of opera, not such a little cocoon, but do they look at you and you must have, in some senses, be from another planet?
I think so. I know my folks think that. But no, the companies, you know, sometimes it's even over specialized. In an audition I was at, I had my agent and the director of the company arguing whether to call me a bass or a bass baritone. So, I mean, it's, you know, you can split it into many things, but the bottom line is, you know, can you or can't you sing something, and then let them figure it out.
Let's go next to Richard, and Richard's with us from Sioux City in Iowa.
Hi, good afternoon. Great show.
Thank you.
It's just so fine to hear this gentleman speaking about his change, and I thought I would call because I had been in construction and then building inspections for about 28 years and started back for a counseling for a psychology bachelor's and had seen a lecture in trauma psychology from a gentleman who travels the world with a team of psychiatrists following war and disaster, and they're still there. They're at the University of Missouri. And it was that one lecture that convinced me that I needed to go on for the terminal degree and get my PhD in counseling psychology and work with children. And that's what I did about 6 years ago.
That's not an easy decision, and that takes a fair amount of time.
It's been a long investment, but it's I don't look back. I'm 56, and I figure I've got another good 30 years, the Lord willing, to keep doing the work. And we've got a great team of people helping people around the world after Katrina and Rita and after, you know, Banda Aceh and you name it, 26 trips to Bosnia after that conflict. So I don't look back. There's no regret.
Richard, thanks very much, and congratulations. I'm glad it worked out for you.
Thank you.
We're talking with Keith Miller, bass baritone opera singer who performs usually with the Metropolitan Opera, and now at the Kennedy Center with the National Opera Company with a production of Madama Butterfly. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Do you have any regrets?
Do I? No.
Now, you look at a football game on a TV on Sunday afternoon, and you see somebody throw a nice block, and you say, oh, boy, that could have been me.
No, I mean, I played it, you know. I enjoyed every moment of it, even the parts that almost broke me in half. I mean, the frustration, you know, I really have been blessed to understand how privileged I was to go from six-man football in high school, a town of 200 people, to play at the University of Colorado with a Heisman Trophy winning tailback behind me, go to 5 bowl games, play professionally. You know, I had the fairy tale, and I gave it everything I had, and I love it. And it's changed a lot today, and it saddens me. You know, the game is different. You know, this helmet-to-helmet contact stuff. And it's not, you know, it's... I hope people really can get back to it, because if they were really that concerned, they wouldn't be boxing in the world. They wouldn't have hockey where people, you know, right after they're showing someone fining Harrison for a hit head-to-head, I click on the ESPN, and the next segment is a fight in hockey where they're punching themselves till they knock on the ice. You know, and the fans go crazy. I mean, these things aren't hurting the players. They get hurt, but that's irrelevant.
All right, let's see if we get one more caller in. Let's go to Grant. Grant with us from Alameda in California.
Hi, how are you this afternoon?
Good, thanks.
I think your guest is spot on. I had that magic moment there. I was in law enforcement for about 20 years, and now I'm a full-time blacksmith and blacksmithing teacher, so I teach people how to make things, and I get to meet some really neat folks. And though I had some interesting times as a law enforcement officer, I certainly love what I'm doing, and I'd like to add that I have been most fortunate, and maybe your guest has as well, into having a supportive family, particularly my wife, who likes the things I make and likes the fact that I teach, and parents who are all for it. Even though they're in advanced age. So,
was there a moment,
Grant? Really lucky.
Was there a moment, Grant, when the light went on? You say I've got to shoe horses.
Well, actually, I don't shoe horses. That's a farrier. I do things like I do everything from public art to hand-forged cutlery to gates, railings, and fences and things. And what happened for me, it was sort of a forced thing. I was given the opportunity to transfer somewhere else or find another job, so I chose the latter course.
So a necessity.
I've always been interested in metalwork, and I was fortunate in that my wife said, okay, let's roll.
Okay. Thanks very much, Grant. Good luck.
Thank you.
And like you, is your family supportive?
Very, very much so. And you know, as he brought it up, I thought immediately of my father, how, you know, he sacrifice. We grew up on a farm in the middle of Colorado and Nebraska and all those areas where it's irrigation farming, and you're up from 4 a.m. and you get to bed at 12, and, you know, there is no holiday. It's just work. And I remember the little things that my dad would appreciate about the job. The sunset today, the smell of the dew of the corn at 3 a.m. And, you know, it's how you can appreciate the things you do when you make those transitions. And my father moved out to our family farm to work to help provide me with a better life. So I wasn't around the inner city that he thought would be more tempting. And it really instilled in me a good work ethic, but it also allowed me to really look at the little things and appreciate things and try to be a glasses half full type person. And, you know, my wife is very, very supportive.
Is she the same girl you took to see the Phantom of the Opera?
No. I actually got in contact with that girl. She was on the basketball team. Her name's Jennifer Terry. And she was there from the beginning. We wrote back, and she's like, I always think it's so cute. You always bring up our date. That was the transition. But no, my wife, she's a model now, and she's a great person.
Keith Miller, thanks very much, and good luck to you.
Thank you very much.
Keith Miller is playing in the role of Bonds in the Washington National Opera Company's production of Madama Butterfly, the Kennedy Center. Performances run through March 19th, and he joined us here today in Studio 3A. We'll leave you with a little more from his performance in Carmen with the Met. Tomorrow, Susanna Fox joins us for a look at how patients use social media to cope with their diagnoses and the ups and downs of living with disease. Join us for that. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.
Ce qui t'occupe, ami, je le sais bien. Une jeune fille charmante, on appelle Amitaella. Superbe et nante tombante.